Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Body and the Beast podcast. Coming straight into your ears for the next few hours are your awesome hosts, Dan Meredith and Jamie Alderton.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Body and the Beast. I am your body, Jamie Alderton.
And I am your beast, Dan Meredith. I hope, dear listener, if you listened to our last episode, obviously we took a little bit of a different tack with Valentine's. Well, I gave what I thought, especially at the end, was very useful advice, if I'm honest, Jamie. But I thought it was a really good episode. And if you, you know, one thing I will just want to start this one with before we go into the main topic is that me and Jay talk, you know, we are best mates. We talk about lots of different things. So if there's any other topics that aren't related to like business, entrepreneurship, social media marketing, personal development that you'd like to talk about, let us know. So literally, we've got lots of things we can talk about. We have opinions on stuff and we'd love to share them with you. But yeah, last episode was a fun one. But towards the end of the podcast, not the very last moment of the podcast, as if you've listened to it, you know what I'm talking about. We were talking about, you know, if you wanted to meet someone, is, you know, asking your friends, asking for referrals, asking, you know, people to set you up and generally being a little bit more shameless and, you know, approaching people and talking to people and actually putting yourself out there. And this is a chapter in How to Be Fucking Awesome, which is my book. I've written quite a lot of posts and content about this. I've spoken on stage about this many a time. And that is the art of being shameless and actually saying, fuck it, I'm going to give this a go. So my question to you, Jay, is have you found being shameless something that you naturally have done or something that you've learned to do or even do you do it full stop as your career has progressed?
I think in order to, obviously I'm pausing here because hopefully it makes sense. In order to be shameless, you have to feel no shame. And here's okay. The thing is like people say all the time, this is what I'm trying to go to. It's like if someone said, oh, you should be ashamed of yourself. It's like, well, I don't feel ashamed of myself. And what you're doing is you're projecting on what you view as shame. And what you have to understand about shame is it's different to each person because everyone lives different lives. And some of these could be culturally, you know, In the day, the thing that springs to mind is like putting up bare feet, like in China. And I remember seeing this HSBC advert, putting up your bare feet in China on stools or tables is like the ultimate shame. Okay.
Oh,
it's,
really?
It's disrespectful, but yeah, but in another country it's perfectly fine and normal. So, you know, culturally shame is very different, especially over there because they have this quote that a nail that's stuck out gets hammered in quickly, and that is about blending in with the crowd. So if you are you know, getting your video camera out, talking to a video camera, being what they would class as shameless, it's frowned upon. And what I mean by shame is that even though that they feel that shame and they direct it towards you, doesn't mean that you have to be shamed. Because we all have our own versions of shame. And I'll tell you some of the things that people look at as shameful, but are not whatsoever. Firstly, doing social media and content and producing stuff that everyone, you know, even if you're walking out, talking and doing all that stuff, I think a lot of people will look at it and go, well, that person's like, you know, I'd be ashamed to do that. When in actual fact, that person's probably living a life of freedom that so many people wish they did because they decided to get shameless and they're like, fuck it, I don't care. I am producing this to help bring value to the world. And although it looks weird on the outside because I'm talking to a phone, when hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people see that, it will be, no one looks at a video and goes, oh, I feel really cringe because they're doing it in a supermarket. No one has that because they're not in the supermarket watching them do it. And I think that this adds to what you're saying about being shameless. It's like a lot of the things that you are not doing is because of your interpretation of them. When in actual fact, a lot of the things that you are not doing is this fear of what other people may think. And no, who gives a fuck what anybody else thinks? If someone feels, oh, that's a bit shameful, it's like, well, it's not, just because you feel it. And that's the kind of point that I'm trying to get at about being shameless. It's like, the things that are stopping you from doing the shit that you do is because that you feel shame to do it, when in actual fact you shouldn't.
That's a great one. And you know what? I've got a very similar philosophy. I think realistically, you can and should do whatever the fuck you want to do. Okay, if it's like recording content in a supermarket, if it's putting yourself out there on social media, if it's chatting up someone that you've seen somewhere, if it's pitching yourself into a business or turning up to an event, you're trying to network with someone of, you know, clout or celebrity. I think as long as you're not a dick and you're not overly impacting other people's lives. So I think if you're going to do, like, you know, like for example, like that social media in a shopping, social media in a supermarket setting. That was quite a hard thing to say. As long as you're not annoying people or sticking cameras in people's face, being a dick, making it difficult for people just to go about their day-to-day lives, just doing your own thing, trying to be, you know, unobtrusive, not too fucking annoying, you're good to go. And part of the reason I wanted to talk about this is one of my clients who's a very, very successful individual in the business coaching space in the fitness industry. And he shared a really good story the other day. And it was basically some guy, and he was not filming anyone else. He'd had a secluded spot at the gym, and he was doing some genuinely funny, weird as fuck exercises whilst dancing. Okay. And he looked ridiculous. It looked silly. It honestly, like, I was looking at it thinking, I couldn't do that. That's proper cringe. And also, he's really moving very, very well. But this guy has built this massive following off of doing really fucking dumb, funny shit in gyms. He's not offending anyone. He's not in anyone's ways. Do you think, and this, and but also the side of that is he actually teaches people how to do it properly. You know, that's kind of his fun hook about doing his most, what ridiculous things can I do in a gym and creating these mad exercises that honestly don't really necessarily do anything, but you do watch them and you're like, fuck it, oh, that's actually either really funny or really cool. He does not give a shit. And he has now built a humongous following, which he is monetizing incredibly well, because he's just shameless. He's just doing it regardless, okay? There's a guy I follow called Sean, and I just started seeing he's got a really deadpan, I don't know which part, whether he's Northern Irish or he's from Ireland. I don't know. I can't tell from his accent. He's got a really deadpan tone, and he just cooks these really quite tasty looking meals in an air fryer for the predominant time. And he's a fitness professional, and I fucking love him. It's really low key. It's deadpan. He's funny with it, but he's not high energy. He's not jumping around. And he's got, I think, a million plus followers now. Of just doing this. And he just started doing it, I think, during lockdown, because he was just at home and bored and wanted to create something useful for people. He had no intention of being where he is, but he just decided to fucking do it. My book, people kept telling me to write a book, and I was like, I'm not going to fucking write a book. But I thought, well, fuck it. I'll just do it anyway and see what happens. And it's like, you know, I had no intention of it going anywhere. You know, my first job with a guy called Ryan Levesque, I sent the fucker, he's a good friend of mine, but I literally applied for a job. I wasn't skilled to do it. I'd never done it before. Totally pitched myself in. Got a friend of mine in America to send something to his postal address. He put me in as a wild card. I ended up getting employed by him. And that literally built my network of some of like the world's best marketers and entrepreneurs and coaches, because I ended up working with him for the best part of 2 years. All the best stuff I've had is off the back of not really giving a fuck. So I'm not ever trying to hurt anyone. I know my heart is good. I'm never trying to cause anyone shit. It's just going for stuff. It's sending the email. It's making the call. It's sending the post. It's writing the post. It's turning up at the event. It's reaching out to the person. Whatever the fuck it is, okay? Being shameless has changed my life. Being shameless doesn't mean you have to be a dick. It doesn't mean you have to be rude. It doesn't mean you have to be in people's faces. It doesn't mean you have to be annoying. It is just seeing something you want to go for, someone you want to connect with, something you want to do, and just saying, fuck it, I'm going to do it. Okay. And unless you have, like, if you're working within a business, you know, you've got bosses and stuff, so you maybe have to be a little bit mindful of that. But pretty much no one cares what you do. The only person that really cares is you. And I wrote a piece on this, which I'll reference in just a moment. But I remember saying when I was back in my, you know, sort of like with my agency, with my market stuff, my copywriting business, with my gym, like I got myself interviewed on news. I got myself into press. I wrote for massive magazines. I got on stages of people that I've been like following for years just by being a shameless little sausage. And just reaching out to people and connecting with people and pitching myself for stuff. The worst things, like literally, I spent several years as a headhunter at a really high level. Like I'm not going to be a dick about this, but I was a very, very good headhunter. I was really good. I made my company and myself, you know, a lot of money doing that. But that came off the back. So they would always give me the new market because I'd be just the one who just ring people up and have a chat to them. And I just did that over and over and over and over again and built a huge fucking business pipeline for the companies that I work for just by being shameless. I wasn't worried. The worst things that happened to me in my years of corporate sales was hung up on, told not interested, had the phone put down on me, or literally picked up, no, put down. That's it. And in my, 10 years of being online, I think it is genuinely five because I tried to have I had people actually give me some degree of pushback, not interested, why are you messaging me kind of vibe. Nothing bad has happened. And even if it had, you want to complain to the boss, guess who that is? Fuckface, it's me. I don't care. Carry on with your life. Sorry I offended you. Sorry I annoyed you with my presence. Good day to you, sir. Off you fuck.
And I think the first thing that kind of springs to mind with this is how do you go about this? And I think one of the things that you need to do as a kind of a process is, firstly, as with anything, pen and paper out, okay? And you need to write down what things do you want out of life and what do you need to do to get it? You know, I use an example of social media because once again, you know, a lot of people complain about the algorithm and, you know, changes and stuff. I'm like, hang on a minute. How much did it cost you to set up your Instagram account? How much you have to pay a month? Oh, nothing. Nuked. Oh, okay. Shut the fuck up. Facebook. People are like, oh, you know, people are like, oh, it's pay to play now. I'm like, I have 60 million views a month that tells you that's bullshit. And guess how much I pay Facebook a month? Nothing. In fact, they pay me ridiculous sums.
Yeah. Nice.
But a very healthy amount to post my videos on the platform. So, and I, you know, when I look at things like this, it's like, cool, you know, get over what you think and what other people are saying who are not doing the things that you want to do. Start surrounding yourself with more shameless people who are going out there and getting it. Because you know what? If I see somebody shamelessly getting a tripod out and just doing social media and that, it inspires me to go, well, if they can do it, I can fucking do it. And find those people. We talk about this all the time. Environment dictates performance. You're the average of the five people you spend time with. Find your shameless crew.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be so much easier to do the shit that
and
you
it's
want
fun.
To do.
Yeah, it's fun seeing what you can get away with and who you can reach out to and connect to. And I'm going to read, I found the poster, so I'm going to, I did say this, it, you know, it's been, I'm going to read a little bit from a post I wrote some years ago. And this client, so a client of mine added 200 grand profit in 6 weeks of working with me, right? Because we had a great offer. We knew who our target customer was. And I basically, this person was a little bit nervous. They hadn't really done any sort of cold outreach before. They hadn't done it. And I said, right, do you want that? Because it was for her family. She wanted to buy a new property. You know, that's younger kids. They needed more space. And I said, right, do you want to stay where you are? Or do you want the new house that you said to me you really, really fucking need because you started to, you know, outgrow where you are? And she said, yeah, I do. So we're going to need to be fucking shameless then. And anyway, this is the end of it. And I remember saying, I said, there are, you know, Okay. One of the reasons I'm where I'm at in part is due to a lack of shame. Honestly, I'm pretty good at what I do, but I'm not arrogant enough to think that I'm the best of anything. There are genuinely people better qualified than me with more experience in certain areas of my life. But I was the one that sent the email. I was the one that picked up the phone and made the call. I was the one that took the flights and turned up to networking events. I was the one that did the work. Why? Because I'm fucking shameless. Not to the extent where I ever fuck anyone over. You know, we've all made mistakes and fucked up. I'm not perfect and neither you. But I'll go out. And once I know that I can A, do the job, and B, good enough to do it, sure as shit, I'll be wriggling and sweating in your market whilst you're sat there worried about the what ifs and what you should be doing while I'm actually doing it. And do you know what the daft thing is? You are probably already enough. Enough to help, enough to make a difference, enough to serve, enough to lead, enough to be successful, enough to have all you want. Most of you listening are fucking enough, but your lack of shamelessness is holding you back. So do me a favor, quit giving a fuck about the what ifs and just fucking do. It might work immediately, it might take weeks, months, or even years, but with enough shamelessness, sure as shit, and I'm living proof of this, you can achieve anything you want to.
Oh, I love that, Dan. It's awesome.
Thanks, mate.
As Dan says there, it comes to exposing yourself more to it. You know, it's easy enough to say be shameless, but it's like, cool, you need to give yourself evidence that, you know, you do this shit and you didn't die. What I mean by that is like
it's true.
But look at rejection. You know, the reason that people don't go up and talk to someone is in case they get rejected. It's like, cool, well, go up to 10 people and purposely get rejected and then come back to me and go, did you die? No. Do you think that person is like in a week's time will actually remember you going up and talking to them? Probably not.
No.
You know, because they're in their own main character shit role and so are you. And the more you expose yourself to shamelessness, the less things feel shameful. There is
that's
a danger to
really,
the dosage, probably.
Really but. Fucking good. That's really good, though. But yeah, that exposure, and again, if you go, like, again, start off at the level you're comfortable at, okay? So, for example, if in a business capacity, maybe you start off sending an email, or maybe then you could progress to DMing someone. Then you can progress to, you know, picking up the phone and calling up a business and having a conversation. Maybe you then can progress to going to, you know, networking events and industry meetups and actually meeting people and pressing the flesh. Maybe you can then go on to like direct mail and sending things in the post. Or, and I learned this from my dad, because when my little sister wasn't well, mum had to be home. And if it was like sort of school holidays or something like that, I'd often go with my dad in the car. So my dad was a sales rep when I was a little boy. And I remember just sitting in the car with him, just watching him do his rounds. And I remember, and obviously say little boy now, I was, how old was I? 19, I think, maybe a little old. I went to university when I was 22, went a little bit later because I needed to work for a few years first. And I remember dad taking me up to Leeds, which is where I went to uni. And on the way there, he said, oh, you know, we're leaving a little bit early, son, because I'm going to stop in and, you know, it's a working day. He said, I'm going to stop in and do some rounds. And he'd come back in and he'd be rubbing his hands together like that. He's like, oh, I just got another sale, son. And, you know, it's good to watch. You know, I love my dad. You know, obviously he's no longer with us, but he was a smooth talker. He was very charming. And I remember when we were driving back home and we stopped off for a burger at a service station. And I just said, he was telling me about his, you know, I just asked him about his deals that day. And all three people that he signed up with, so he worked in the lighting industry, he had never spoken to before. He knew where they were. So he had and we're talking pre-sat-navs. He had them on a map. So he'd written down the map coordinates where they were and the address, and he, you know, navigated their old school, okay? And he literally doorstepped them. Literally was a cold approach. He literally turned up, charmed the receptionist, had a chat to people, got someone out to speak to him. And within half an hour later, he's walking out with an order. And I saw him do that three times back off the back. So that's kind of maybe like the higher level of doing this. But it can be done. You know, my dad, in all honesty, he started off, I think he left home when he was 15. He didn't finish any of his qualifications. He started off as a butcher in Waitrose. Then I think, I can't remember his journey, but I think he just got into sales because it's kind of relatively low barrier to entry. You know, they just basically, you kind of get a car, or, you know, my dad used to get like 20 P's like for his phone calls he had to do in his phone books. He'd go out there and he'd just start calling people, turning up at people's places of work and having conversations. And do you know what? The more conversations he had, the more commission that he used to make. And that shameless side of things, I think I saw my dad do it in a way that, yes, was definitely shameless, but it wasn't aggressive. It wasn't forceful. You know, he wasn't stopping people. You know, if he was, said he's busy, he would leave. He was just charming and friendly and engaging and just talking to people and seeing if he could solve a problem with the lights that he had on offer from his business. And that's how he did it. So this being shameless isn't bad. It's good. On the other side of shamelessness is some really cool stuff. It could be, you know, like we said in the last one, it could be the person of your dreams. It could be the client of your dreams. It could be that connection who can catapult you up in the social stratosphere. You just don't know. And you never know until you do it. One of my friends, and I've got to be very careful how I say this, reached out to a friend of his to reach out to his friend who runs, let's just say, you will know this chain of businesses in the UK, and ended up, now he'd never, you know, he was fully qualified in the coaching modality that he was is, and just had seen him write an article talking about some of the areas that he was struggling with. My friend, that was his speciality, and he just asked for an introduction. He said, could you send this little bio on me to your mate? And he said, yeah, I'll pop it on an email. And then he gets back to him, this person, you will know them, they are famous, the business they own is massive, you'll know him. He's now been his like private coach for over a year. And he's now basically said to him, well, I really like you. There's this part of a business that I'd like to do, but I don't want to run it. Would you be interested if I invested in, you know, he's a pilot, you know, say $250,000, I think he said, and you can kind of build that. And he's like, what the fuck? And that all started off the back of him seeing an article, reached out to someone who he thought knew them, who's loosely connected to, just asked for a favor. They sent an email, and now his life is on a completely different trajectory. Completely different. And you just don't know what's going to be until you give things a go.
100%. I want to give you two stories of shamelessness in business now. Have you ever heard of the chocolate pots Goo?
Yep. I like it.
GU.
Delicious.
So they approached the supermarkets with their luxury chocolate, and mm-hmm. I think it was Sainsbury's that turned around and said, no one will pay £3 for a yogurt, which is why they didn't go on the shelves. So okay. What Goo did is that they got some of their guys mm-hmm. to go into Sainsbury's and put some of these Goo pots all over different Sainsbury's shops. And of course, what happened is people took them off the shelves and put them through the, the checkout. And they, mm-hmm. you know, they did it in about 10 or 15 Sainsbury's. And of course, they were running into lots of problems because the barcodes wouldn't scan and it was holding up all the shops. And then they sent an email to Sainsbury's that said, see, we told you people would want them. So that's a great guerrilla marketing tactic, and that's how Goo got in all of the supermarkets. Another example, which I'll give you, is a personal one. And it was Marks and Spencer. So when I was working with Grenade as an athlete, Marks and Spencer wouldn't put Grenade bars in Marks and Spencer. So what Grenade did is they drove a bright orange tank through London, upped and then parked it outside Marks and Spencer's headquarters. And I went into Marks and Spencer's asking for their marketing manager to give them the new flavored bar. Now, what was great about it is the new flavored bar was birthday cake. And when the marketing manager of Marks and Spencer's came down, it was actually her birthday. And we didn't know this. So it had even more of an effect because not only did we, of course, were shameless in driving this orange tank outside, but we presented her with essentially a birthday present of the new birthday cake. And from that, they actually got in Marks and Spencer's and sell I think probably now about 2 million bars a week.
That's
throughout
wild.
The whole of throughout the whole of the world. And it's the either the second or the first, probably the first now, best-selling chocolate bar in the UK, beating Mars and Snickers and everything else.
That's nuts. See, oh, there's so much good stuff on the other side of... learn to speak, Daniel. On the other side of shamelessness. Is it going to work every time? Of course it fucking isn't, okay? And you'll get lots of no's, ignores, you've ghosted. That's fine. Nothing bad is happening. No one is coming around your house and punching you in the face or forcing you to drink a pint of piss or saying terrible things about you on the internet or whatever. I don't know why I fucking got came out as an analogy, but not something any of us
get some flashbacks then.
Yeah, back to my rugby days, mate. Honestly, those initiations were brutal, but we are going to skip past that quite quickly. And anyone who's played rugby will know exactly what I'm talking about. But because just because a chunk of them don't work doesn't mean that some will. And the thing is, you don't know unless you fucking ask, unless you try, unless you put your hat in the ring, you are not going to get it. You are simply not going to fucking get the thing. And again, I know people who have changed their lives in the most insane ways off the back of just being a little bit cheeky, a little bit charming, coming up with a creative angle or approach to connect, reach out, meet with them, whatever, and done amazing things. One of my favorite ones was a guy, a friend of mine, who had a business, turned over about 20, 25 million a year. So he's doing well, okay? And American Express were trying to sign them up as a, you know, like a payment processor as well. And they're like, no, you know, we're fine with Visa and MasterCard. We don't need you, all kind of stuff. Because American Express costs a little bit more to process. And they wouldn't, he wouldn't take the call, you know, he wouldn't reply to emails and stuff. And they did a bit of digging. And they found out that he was a real big fan of water sports. And I don't mean the intimate act, he was a wakeboarder. So, and he also had a boat. So he had a wakeboard boat and, you know, had all the toys. Okay. So they sent him, and they spent a few quid on this. So I think it's about $200, $250. They sent him an exact replica of his boat, but like a remote controlled one with a little handwritten note that said, if you just give us 15 minutes of your time, we'll send you the remote control. And they and he just laughed and he thought, do you know what? That's cheap. He did actually like it. I mean, obviously he could afford to buy his own, but he was like, fuck it. I'll speak to you for 15 minutes. Took the call. He actually ended up working with them. They sent the remote and that ended up in a relationship that's, you know, as far as I'm aware, is still together now. That person obviously was working for a corporate company. It just gives you an example to show how shameless you can be. I had a client who we came up with this really fun piece of direct mail. They work in professional services. You know, they've got kind of a, I've got to say like a dry business, but it's a needed one. And we sent out 100 letters with a chocolate bar attached. And that chocolate bar, let's see if you can guess what it is from what I'm about saying that. And it was in a brightly colored envelope, handwritten address, and this little chocolate bar in it with a note. And it basically said, do you fancy giving us a twirl? Okay. They followed up all of the, we did a test run of 20. All 20 people took the call. 17 or 18 of them were interested and 5 have converted into actual new clients. Okay. Now, obviously they have a good product and a good service, but the fact is they were shameless. They made them smile. It is a little bit cheeky. You just sent me a chocolate bar in a post. Where the fuck gets that? It makes you smile. So that's the thing, is this shamelessness side of things will get you so into so many cool places because you never know what's going to happen. And that's the thing. Much like I said in that bit of the post that I read out from my earlier content, is so many people are in the what if. What if it doesn't work? What if they think I'm a knob? What if they don't reply to me? Whereas I just basically kill that little voice and say, fuck off, and just do it anyway. And think to yourself, what if they do reply to you? What if they do want to put you on their podcast? What if they do want to collaborate with you? What if they do want to date you? How fucking awesome is that? You get what you wanted. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, like, if it comes back to this kind of failure quadrangle, so to speak. And if you imagine, like, and what I like about the failure quadrangle is this: if you do the thing, they might say no. But if you do the thing, they might say yes. If you don't do the thing, it's default to no because you haven't done the thing. And because you haven't done the thing, you're not going to get the result. So the only thing that is an actual success is doing the thing. So
true.
Know, if we looked at it as a shamelessness, you know, shamelessness matrix, we're getting all the tongue twisters today, then the only way to actually succeed through it is to do it. So stop fucking about and get a little bit more shameless in your life.
Make the call, send the message, post the thing, speak to the person, go to the event, just fucking try. And unless you are a complete cretin who has the social skills of a pubic louse, you're fine. You're gonna be fine. Nothing bad's gonna happen. Just be pleasant, treat people how you like to be treated, have a little bit of fun, try and be a little bit charming, fucking relax and just give it a fucking go.
100%. Hey, gents, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you do get some success with your shamelessness, please let us know. But ladies and gents, as always, I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Body and the Beast podcast. I have been your body, Jamie Alderton.
And I have been your beast, Dan Meredith. Take care.